Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Are you the church? Are you the church? You are the church. You are the church. The church has to be prepared. The community has to know that we're the church. If you're a child, we got our children, our elementary kids with us today. Stand up if you're in here with us right now. Stand up. Everybody stand up if you're an elementary student with us. Every fifth Sunday, we're going to have our kids with us in here worshiping. Stay standing up. I got to ask you a question. How many of you have seen Horton Hears a Who? Raise your hand. Okay, at the end, oh, you have two? Okay, you're a child, right? Yeah. So, okay, at the end of the movie, Horton is trying to save Whoville, right? He's trying to save them, and they've got the whole city of Whoville screaming out something. What are they screaming out so they won't be killed, so they won't be destroyed? What are they screaming out? Who knows? You know the movie? What are they screaming out? We are here. Say it with me. We are here. And they just keep saying it. We are here. We are. Say it with me. We are here. We are here. We are here. Church, if you're the church, they got to know that we are here. You may sit down, children. You may sit down. Thank you for standing up. The community around us, the world needs to know that the church is here. And what the church of God has to offer them. We have to be mission ready. The church has a mission. There's a great commission, and we've been given a purpose. And we have to live out that purpose. But so many times we let the world tell us what our purpose is, what our mission should be. But together, we have to know our mission and be ready for our mission. How many of you have cell phones? Raise it up if you got a cell phone. I got mine right here. We use them a lot, don't we? Some of you have your Bible apps, if you can access them in here. Bad Wi-Fi, we're working on that. But you got your Bible, and we got the scripture up here. But we got our cell phones. We're connected, aren't we? We are connected. Cell phones, computers, they're charging. They're plugged in the power source. We need sales towers. We need data plans. We need internet providers. We need power surge protectors. We need firewalls. We need secure passwords so our identity doesn't get taken. And that's just for us to be able to be linked in to communicate with each other, to communicate with everyone immediately. It's all for the purpose of making the busy life even busier. For us to cram more into our 86,400 seconds in a day. That's an interesting number. Have you ever thought about how much trust and reliance we place on these devices to run? When you go into a room and you flip on the light switch, what do you expect to happen? The light to come on. You got faith that the light is to come on. When you go to turn on the lamp, you're expected to come on because it's got to be plugged into a power source for it to work, right? If it's not plugged in, does it work? Same way with the church. If we're not plugged in, if we're not connected, we don't work like we're meant to work. We don't fulfill the mission that we've been called to fulfill because we're not plugged in to the source. We're not connected. Today we start a 3-week series on our mission. And the first part of it is being connected with God or being connected to God. He is our source for everything that we do. He is our wisdom for the decisions that we make. The Holy Spirit prompts us for the direction we need to go, and then we have to decide if we're going to go. We got 35 students and volunteers at a Wanata Valley retreat this weekend. I'm so excited that they're there. By the way, whoever's counting, we count them in our number today, okay? Don't miss that, all right? We count them, all right? You got that? All right, 35 of them. You know what's great about being there? They've got their cell phones, but they don't have cell phone connection. It's awesome. My son said, Dad, I told him, I said, you don't have cell phone connection. Why are you taking your phone? Oh, I guess I'll take some pictures. Okay, take your phone. But they don't have it, so they're unconnected from the world, but they're going to have an experience, and I pray that each one of them do, that is connected to God, because they've put their cell phones down. And they have time out in nature to connect with each other and connect with God and see Him in a real way. And I pray that for them. I'm brought to a scripture, though, that really fulfills what I want to talk about today. It's out of John 15:5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're not plugged into God, you can do nothing. And you know what else? If you try to, there's the chance that you'll take the glory for yourself and not give it to God. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He promised, this is the promise, if you do this, this will happen. Church, if we are the church, if we know our mission and we're trying to be mission ready and we're connected to God, we will bear much fruit, not for us, but for God's church and for His kingdom's sake. This Bible verse arrests me in my thinking and gives me great reason to rethink everything in my life. What I do, what I say, does it have a purpose? Does it bring glory to God? Does it lift up the name of Jesus? Does it please the Holy Spirit who lives within me? I have to ask myself, and I pray that if you take anything from this message today, that maybe you'll take that in everything you'll do, you'll ask, am I doing this and does it glorify God the way that I'm doing it? The way that I'm speaking, is it glorifying God, my words? What if we stayed plugged in, connected to our Creator with the same unmatched enthusiasm? What if we were to give God the same dedication, reliance, and trust that we give to our small, plugged-in, know-it-all machines, our computers, our laptops, our phones? We rely on them. Oh, Google this. Oh, I can find out that information. It's exciting that I have that with me. I'm able to speak it now. You're able to speak to your TVs, and they just go to the channel that you want them to go to. That's power. But if we get so excited about that, shouldn't we be excited about being plugged into God and what He can do through us? We would not have the most, wouldn't we have the most amazing life if we started our days supercharged, plugged in to God and His Word, asking the Lord to take charge of whatever our thoughts are for the day, whatever our actions are going to be, whatever emotions that come up in us, that they are tested to what He wants us to feel and what He wants us to think and what He wants us to do. The connection is always reliable. The one that is never subject to error. The one that can't break down or be obsolete. The one source that can never be hacked, breached, or compromised. The highly functional, trustworthy, super intelligent, miraculous, omniscient kind of connection that can never conclusively, never fail. God never fails. God is the power source, and by us being the branches stemming from the vine, we are plugging into God. And simultaneously, we will become fully functional about church than that He has given us. And He has given us a mission, and that's what these 3 weeks are about, church. Then the first part is being connected to God. We as humans and children of God require, though, recharging. And we get it from being connected to our Creator. You know what? Over these last few weeks, a lot of you have put a lot of effort into getting out of a building, merging a church, and I'm telling you, some of us need a break. I'm taking 2 days off in a row this next week. Nobody try to call me Thursday and Friday, okay? Because I need it. I've left so many things undone at my house that I've got to take care of some things there. But you know what? It's worth it. It is so worth it. The exhaustion, falling asleep early, getting up early, because we know what the mission is. We know what the mission is. We know what we're called to do. And we got to get mission ready. You got to get mission ready. You call yourself the church, but they know that we are here. We have to let them know that we are here. We have to get ready. Connect with God. Pastor Bill's going to come next week, and he's talking about growing in Christ. And then we're going to come back and talk about engage the world in His name. Those are the three parts of the mission. And we're going to explain that, but we got to get mission ready. God wants a yes from all of us. Not a sit on the line. Well, not let me wait and see where this goes. He wants us in right now. All in. He wants our homes surrendered to Him. He wants our families surrendered to Him. He wants our bank accounts surrendered to Him. He wants our time surrendered to Him. He wants our thoughts and our hearts surrendered to Him. To be mission ready, we have to be sold out to what He wants us to do. And then we go and do it. Sometimes the greatest battle is not fought against outside opposition, but our own choices. To yield our will to God's Word. We must start our days and fill them with God's Word. We got to stay fully connected to the divine love and wisdom of our Heavenly Father by wholeheartedly trusting Him. Will the days always be good? No. Will there be trouble? Yes. There always will be trouble. But God gives us what we need to stand up under those things. And He provides a way of escape when He knows it's time to run away from it. He provides all that. But to know that, we have to stay connected to God. We have to stay connected to God. One of my favorite activities as a kid, and maybe some of you kids do this, is to do, I love doing puzzles. I love doing seek and finds. But one of my favorite things was, when I was younger, was connect the dots. I love to connect the dots because you look at them and you can almost see a picture, but you really don't put it together until you start with one and you go to two. And three, and then by the time you get done, you see this picture that's made, but you got to stay connected. The dots have to stay connected to see it. Just think about that as the church. You're a valuable dot in this beautiful painting, this beautiful picture God is making. And we have to be connected to each other and therefore be connected to God. And each one of us are important. Each dot connects to all the others, and we make this beautiful picture of the church. God's church, not our church. It's God's church. We belong to the living God. He has the right to guide our lives. He has the right to tell us what to do. We gave that ownership up to Him when we trusted Jesus as our Savior. We became managers of our lives now, stewards of our lives, not owners anymore because He owns it. But we take it back so many times like we're the owner. And when we make choices, we mess up. We may get it right sometimes because, you know, a clock is right twice a day, a broken clock. And a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right? So we can get it right sometimes, but we'll never get it right for the glory of God in the way that He wants us if we don't stay connected to Him. Throughout our lives, we have collected bits and pieces of information that affect us spiritually. You've been to Sunday school or you've been to small group. You study the Bible to some degree. Everybody in here has heard that. You've probably listened to more sermons than you can count. And while you may not remember any particular sermon, I'm sure you've gathered some tidbits of information from each one that will carry you, that you'll remember. The hymns and Christian songs that we sing here and sing from with the radio. Add to this spiritual knowledge. TV, if you watch the TV and maybe you stayed home at church and had church on TV or online streaming sometime, you hear the Word of God. We get that information. So we may have all these tidbits and pieces of spiritual information. We feel that He's a million, yet we often still feel like God has little or nothing to do with our lives. We feel that He's a million miles away. We're so busy with school and with work, with family and with friends, for leisure. We fail to connect with God in all those areas. You say, some of us have these compartmentalized lives. Well, I have my work life, and I have my neighborhood life, and then I have my church life. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, He guides everything. You have a Holy Spirit life. He guides everything. It's all one thing if we're living connected to God. So the school life is your spirit life. Work life is your spirit life. Church life is your spirit life because the Holy Spirit runs through all of it. And you've got to stay connected. Got to stay connected. Connecting with God is vital to us growing spiritually. The Christian connects with God through worshiping Him. both corporately and privately. Romans tells us that the way we live our lives is worship to God. It says this is your spiritual act of worship. So this is corporate. We come together to encourage and lift up one heart and one voice from one body to the Lord. We live our lives, we worship privately, but our lives as we live them should be a sacrifice of praise to God. Every moment of every day, dedicated to being connected and doing the mission that He's called us to do. You as a believer, though, were once an unbeliever. And do you remember your first connection with God? Do you remember that? That's when you had the unbeliever in you had a connection with God that caused you to surrender and become a believer who was fully connected to God. If you're a child in here, I want you to stand again. Stand again if you're a kid. I know, you know, you're going to get active up and down, up and down, up and down. Come on, stand up. How many of you kids have a best friend? Raise your hand. Ooh, we got some best friend. All right, now, do you talk to your best friend? Say a big yes if you do. Oh, okay. Do you see your best friend? Say yes if you do. Do you play with your best friend? Say yes if you do. Do you argue with your best friend? Say yes if you do. Sometimes. Okay, that's good. I like that. If it was all the time, they wouldn't be your best friend, right? Okay, sit down. You may sit down. You got a best friend. Would they be your best friend if you didn't talk to them?
No.
Would they be your best friend if you didn't want to see them? No. Would they be your best friend if you argued all the time? No. They're your best friend because you stay connected to them. You have this connection in your life that makes you say to each other, you're my best friend, and you're my best friend. That connection with God makes God your best friend. We have to stay connected to Him to know Him. He already knows us, but for us to know Him in a great way. We went to dinner last night with Austin and Bea Poth, me and Charla. Bea's been given my, well, he's not here, so I can say he's on the retreat. My youngest son, Garrett, he needs two. How many of you have problems in math? Yeah, bring it up. I got two hands and my legs up too. No math. And I'm sorry, that's the dysfunctional part of me that my boys got. It's like they can't do math. And so we got Bea, who's a brain at math, Bea Poth, Austin's wife. And so she's been tutoring him in math, and his grades have been skyrocketing. And so I can't praise Bea Poth enough for helping him. But we took him out to dinner last night. We had a great time. But we started talking about how each other's met, you know, the connections that we have with each other. And, you know, if you're married, you know this. When you first met your wife-to-be or your husband-to-be, I mean, you probably knew at some point that that was the person you were going to marry, that the relationship started growing and you knew where it was going. But when you first met them and they said yes to going out on a date and it went well, you were looking for more ways to connect. You were looking other methods, not just the phone for hours at a time or emails or now it's FaceTime or Snapchat or whatever it is. You're looking to meet up. It's like, let's hang out. Let's talk. Let's go to this place. Let's go to that. You're looking for ways that you can connect. I wonder, with that same kind of passion, with that same kind of love, do we every day look for ways to connect with God? We call ourselves the church because that is what we are. That is who we are. But we're only the church because of God. We belong to Him, and we need to stay connected to Him and find ways to connect with God. And one of those ways is to love Him more. How many of you love chocolate? Raise your hand. Wow, that's a lot of hands. Okay. Now, if you had your hand raised and you have had some chocolate at least once in 12 months, keep it up. Raise your hand. If you've had it once in 12 months, all right, that's good. Keep your hand up, okay? Put it down if you've had it in the last 6 months. Keep it up. Okay, good. What about the last month? Keep it up. Wow, everybody's hand's still up. What about in this last week if you had chocolate? Put your hand down if you didn't. Okay, good. Everybody's still up. What about today if you had chocolate? Oh, my Lord. We got chocolate breakfast eaters. Wow, there you go. There you go, loving you some chocolate. How many of us, and this is no cut on the chocolate lovers in here, but how many of us, when we say we love something, that it's the same love that we love God with? We say love, you know, Pastor Bill talked about they will know us by our love. We were Christians last week, he talked about that and how they will know us by our love. But you see, God first loved us. We only get that kind of love from a God who loved us that way. And is that being reflected or reciprocated back, that we're loving God with all that we are? Not the way that we love chocolate, not the way that we love sports, not the way that we love the Falcons, you know, when we watch them this next weekend. Not the same way. It's not the same love. We've got to understand that. The truth is, when we love someone, we want to see them, talk to them, and listen to them. And I ask you the question, is that how you love God? That's how you stay connected to Him. That's how you have a connection with Him. And the same holds true with God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:5, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. God is love. Dios es amor. Dios es amor. God is love. And therefore, when we are connected to Him, we have the love of God in us. For those of us who have that, we don't have a problem sharing that and showing that. You know, a couple people that I have, I mean, it's every time I come in touch with them and they're new to my life, it's no doubt in my mind that they love God and they're connected to God. The Townsends, today's their last Sunday with us because they've been called to Arkansas. I don't know why Arkansas, because they got family there. I don't, you know, it's Arkansas. But you know what? I have no doubt while I'll miss, and you'll miss, what they bring to this fellowship. God has called them. They'll stay connected to God, and they'll share the love of God just like they shared here with those who need it there. God has called them, and so they must go. But God has called us here. So we must do what He's called us to do. And staying connected to Him, we will. Because Jesus said that this is the most important learning in connecting with God. We need to learn more about God. We need to not just know about God, we need to know God. And you only come to know God by staying connected to Him. And He will show, He will reveal more about Himself in every experience that you have with Him. Deuteronomy 6, 6-9 says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on the journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. When we learn something new about God, you should have this feeling, I can't wait to tell somebody of what I just learned about my God, about what He just did for me, about this character that I didn't know about Him, that He has just shown me. I've got to tell somebody about that. You know what? That becomes your testimony that you continue to share as you mature and grow. And we've got to do that. And as we read these verses, we can't help but see a person who is committed to learning more and more about God. But sadly, most Christians today only learn about God from other people. Sunday school teachers, class members, preachers, sermons, hymns, songs, TV and radio. These will all help. But what about you and God? You see, your relationship can't get better through me to God. You see, Jesus died to open up the way that you can go straight to God now. Did you know that? You knew that. You don't have to go through a man high priest. When the veil was rent, and I love that term. Have I told you ever I love that term in Scripture? When the veil was rent, when the curtain was torn between the holy place and the holy of holies, when Jesus breathed His last, He opened up the way for you and me to go before the Father. And then there are days that we go that we're not connected to Him. There are days that go by. We don't crack the Word of God and read what it has for us. That we don't spend time in prayer talking to Him or listening to Him. Days go by. And He went to a cross so that we would have a way. I'm guilty of it. I confess it. There are days that I let the world come in and tell me what I'm going to do instead of relying on God to tell me what I need to do. When I was growing up, one of my most favorite celebrities alive was Elvis Presley. Thank you very much. Yes. My mom loved Elvis Presley. She loved him. She loved his singing and a lot of his songs. She watched his movies. She read articles and books about him. She loved Elvis Presley. But I remember coming home from school one day, and my mom had been crying. Why? Because Elvis Presley had died. I mean, I had never seen my mom really cry that way. And she was crying. And then I got to thinking, did my mom know Elvis Presley? Was she a friend? Did she go visit him? Well, did they like go to school together or something? No, none of that. None of that. The only connection that my mom had with Elvis Presley was on secondary sources. A recording, a television, a book, an article. But she loved Elvis Presley. Can you translate that into, and for me, it makes me hurt inside sometimes. Because for the love, the excitement that we show for these celebrities in our lives, our favorite teams, those kind of things, and we don't show that kind of excitement when we have a connection with God. And I'm guilty of that myself. And I need to go to the Lord and confess that. Lord, I'm sorry that I put more excitement into cheering for the Falcons than I have in cheering for you and what you've called me to do. You know what he does? He says, it's okay. Thank you for telling me that. But I'd love to see that sometime on a regular basis because of what I did for you. And then when we can embrace that, we have no problem going and doing what he's asked us to do. We have no problem going into these communities and saying, hey, do you know the Lord? Or to our neighbors next door, you need to lead them to the Lord. We have no problem with the mission. We need to live more the way God wants us to live. Deuteronomy 6:17, I'm almost done. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the stipulations and laws he has given you. With obedience, you see, do you understand that God loves obedience more than sacrifice? He is pleased when he sees his child doing what he's asked them to do. More than what you could give him. He has everything. What he wants is your heart. And because we have free will, and he's given us that, we choose sometimes not to give him all of it. And he wants all of it. John 14:15, and these scriptures aren't up there, but it says, if you love me, obey my commands. If you love God, obey him. John 14:21 says, those who obey my commands are the ones who love me. So you see the correlation. Obeying God shows that you love him. It shows your faith. Show me your faith by what you do. You say you love God, then show it to me. I hear what you say, but do your actions match your words? It's not the talk you talk, but it's the walk you walk that shows your actions. Obedience and love cannot be separated, though. We might say that obedience is when we live and love for God. Using the word live, obedience to God is when our living becomes this. L-I-V-E, love is visually expressed. To live is when love is visually expressed. That's how they'll know. Pastor Bill talked about that last week to other people. They'll know we are Christians by our love. But the love that we're going to love with is the love from the one who first loved us. Staying connected to Him, we get that. I have a question for you this morning, and we're going to close. Austin's going to come up, and we're going to go into a special moment here of communion and some prayer. How connected to God are you today? We've been in here together, and it's easy to sit together and stand together and worship God. It's almost like it's contagious, amen? It's contagious, it really is. But how connected to God are you in the bad times and in the good times? Does He get your full attention? Does He get your full desire, your full commitment in both of those times? But maybe tonight, today you sit here and you don't have a connection with God because you haven't accepted what He did for you on the cross, what He gave His Son for you. Maybe you sit here outside of a connection with God. Well, I'm telling you today can be the day that you get connected if you want. And the Holy Spirit works on you. And then once you give your life to Him, He works in you. So is He working on you today? Do you feel that? Do you understand what that is? For the believer that sits here today, those who are connected, we're going into this time called communion. The bread and the vine. Representations of the body, the blood, that went to the cross and died for us, God's own Son. Through Jesus, we're connected to God. So for the believer, when we go into this time of communion, after I pray, you're remembering and you're thanking and you're celebrating what Jesus did for you so that you can be connected to God. For those of you who sit here today that don't have that connection, you can today. You can say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. God, thank you for sending Him and making a way that I can get back to you. I'm unworthy, I'm imperfect, and I'm full of sin. I know you're the only way that I can be made clean. You're the only way that I can be made holy. And I want you to redeem me and come into me and change me. I want to be yours. You can do that today. And while communion is going on, I'm going to be standing right here. And if that's what you want to do today, you can come do that today. And it doesn't have to be today. It could be tomorrow if you want to reach out. It could be the next day. But why not today? You have an opportunity to get connected to God today. So we're going to do all that at once. I'm going to be standing here. Pastor Bill's up here too. Believers will be taking communion, but if you want to become a believer today, if you want to become a fully connected believer today, you can do that today. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then as you're ready, go to the tables and take communion today. Father God, we love you. Thank you for you, for your love. Father, we thank you that you desire to be connected to us. That's why you created us. But you gave us a free will to choose. You didn't want us to be robots. You didn't want to make us love you. Thank you for that. And forgive us for when we choose the other. You are worthy. You are mighty. You are enough. And we need to realize that every day, God. And you made it that way by sending your Son to die on the cross. So we celebrate as believers, God, by taking the bread and we take the vine, God, and we eat it and we drink it. And we remember what you did for us, that Jesus made a way that we could be connected. And God, if there's someone who sits here today that is not connected to you, prick their heart. Holy Spirit, weigh down on their heart. Impress upon them that it's time to step forward. It's time to make a commitment, God. We love you so much, and we thank you for this opportunity. May it glorify you. And it's in the powerful, powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Now, may you be sanctified holy, body, soul, and spirit. that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, you'll be found blameless in His sight. God bless you and have a great week.